Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Buscelli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from The Grill Room is definitely on our tab. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
No doubt about it, we're definitely getting in to the meat of the golf season. First it was the Masters, now we're on the threshold of the Players' Championship. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Buscelli. And Alex, golly, it seemed like yesterday we were Maui for the first event in the year 2016. Now we're at the Players' Championship, U.S. Open on the horizon, obviously PGA Championship, Olympic golf. We are into the meat of the season.
Well, I mean, I think it starts with the Masters, and it kind of starts kind of snowballing from there. I mean, the Players is, I'm sure you're going to tell me, is a very good field, as it always is, but it's just still one of the events. It's not one of the four big events, and so it's a prelude, actually, to the Texas event and the Memorial, and all of a sudden we're at U.S. Open. But it's not going to be that far away, because now we're in May. It's not going to be that far between now and when we're actually going to be stepping on the grounds in Rio and watching the Olympics, which will which is getting a lot of discussion, even though it's months away.
Yeah, it certainly is, and we'll get into that a little later. Let me ask you this about the Players' Championship. Do you think that it has gotten bigger because more and more people are familiar with the golf course that it's played on, specifically the par 3 17th hole that each and every year gets more and more attention? When people are familiar with a golf course, it just has a tendency to elevate the event.
Well, I agree. I mean, the Masters has a lot to do with the fact that they play the same venue every year versus all the other three majors where they move the venues around. So I agree with that. And look, I mean, most people would say that the Players' Championship or TPC Sawgrass in this particular case is a bit tricked up. I mean, you have an island green that can be affected by wind, tremendously affected by wind. That's surrounded, obviously, if it's an island green, surrounded by water. I don't know if you would call that anything other than tricked up.
Well, it certainly gets the attention of the Players when it comes on Sunday afternoon, the 71st hole of a 72-hole stroke event. Many people think that the par 3 there, the island green, as you mentioned, is a good hole, but maybe it should not be that critical at that critical juncture coming to the end of a championship. But first, we got to talk about the Wells Fargo Championship, which was played at Quail Hollow. Certainly a championship-type course, Alex. It's going to host, what, the 17 PGA Championship, and then a President's Cup a few years after that. Quail Hollow is going to get a lot more attention in the upcoming years.
Well, I mean, I think it's always been a difficult – when it first came on tour, it was a very, very difficult golf course. A lot of players had seen it before, didn't really know how to play it. And even now, there's these the issues that players have coming down the stretch at Quail. I mean, Phil Mickelson would love to be playing on the 18th tee at the 18th – or 18th tee on Saturday. Better – like to have that chance to go ahead and tee it up again – after making an eight there, which was basically his chance of winning the golf tournament. It's a tough stretch. They're making it even a little tougher for the PGA Championship. But I think back when it first started, it was really, really hard. And it shows you how good the players are, that they once they get a better feel for it and a handle on it, how well they can play. And I think you know, anybody that wins there has to find a way to what they call a green mile, but they have to find a way to finish off that golf tournament. And I think last week, what you saw was a player in James Hahn that figured out exactly how to do that.
Well, he certainly did. And the man at the helm at Quail Hollow, Johnny Harris, he loves everything first class. I kind of chuckle a little bit when I think the players show up and they get a brand-new Mercedes as their courtesy car for the week. And Ty Tryon, a name probably familiar to some people, but he was only 18 years old when he was eligible to play at Quail Hollow. He showed up. He went to register. They asked for his driver's license, and they told him, gee, we're sorry, we can't give you a courtesy car. You have to be 21, apparently due to insurance regulations. Johnny Harris overheard the conversation, walked over, reached in his pocket, took out the keys to his Bentley and said, Ty, you just drive my car this week. So the players had Mercedes, but Ty Tryon drove around in a Bentley. Hey, it was a good field, though, starting out, Alex. McIlroy, Fowler, Mickelson, as you mentioned, Justin Rose. But it was James Hahn who came out on top after a one-hole playoff with Roberto Castro. And I want to talk about that victory, but I want to get your opinion on something, Alex. You know, James Hahn misses eight cuts in a row, then goes on and wins wins Quail Hollow. Do you have any logical reason how a player can miss eight consecutive cuts, can't even make it to the weekend, and then all of a sudden shows up and claims his second victory on the PGA Tour?
Well, I mean, is there any logical reason? Probably no logical reason, except for the fact that he's playing professional golf, and every week is a new week for these guys. I mean, if the guy was playing well last week, you would think, well, if he was playing well last week, why doesn't he play well this week? That same guy that wins the week before may miss the cut the next week. So, I mean, that's just what it's like out on this tour. You know, when you tee it up on a Thursday morning, you're one of generally 156 guys that have a chance to win. On the PGA Tour, I'd say out of that 156, there's probably 125 to 130 guys that have a chance to win every week. And that's just how it is. It's a very, very competitive sport on this tour. And you can have good days and you can have bad days, obviously, because it's golf. But in James Hahn's case, you know, you never know what's going on. He's got a wife. He's got a kid. He could have had a bad foot. His wife's mother-in-law or his mother-in-law could have been having a problem. You know, he had a bad flight. He slept wrong. He's working on new clubs. I mean, there's so many things that can happen on a daily basis for these guys that you just never really know.
Well, you mentioned the new clubs. I think that's got to be kind of a record for PXGs, the irons that James Hahn was using. Only came out this year. Already they have a win on the PGA Tour. Does that surprise you?
Well, no. I mean, they're not they're built very well. And the PXG people, Bob Parsons, picked some good players to represent him and to play his equipment, including Zach Johnson. It doesn't surprise me that they have a win this quickly. I think what surprises me is the fact that it's taken this long, actually. I mean, you got Charles Howell III, you got Chris Kirk, you have Zach Johnson, you got James Hahn. Every one of those guys had won on the PGA Tour. Zach Johnson winning an Open Championship last year, Chris Kirk, a very, very solid player. So it's kind of surprising to me that they hadn't won earlier.
Well, there you go. Alex disagreeing with me. That's not a first on the Grow Room show. Hey, we're going to listen to what James Hahn had to say about his victory. But in case people are wondering what somebody does after they win over $1 million and it's deposited into your bank account on Monday morning, well, Monday night, you walk into a Firehouse Sub and order your favorite sandwich. Janice Self, our executive producer, was ordering her dinner when she found herself standing alongside James Hahn, his wife, and his little baby girl. So didn't change James Hahn too much, certainly in one day. But let's listen as he talks about his win.
You know, it's special. You know, anytime you have an opportunity to win, you know, it doesn't matter if it's in playoff or the 72nd hole. You know, I didn't look at the scoreboard at all today. Didn't know that I had to two-putt the last hole to possibly win outright. 18's playing tough. I doubt anyone's going to birdie that hole today. But, you know, after I had missed the putt for car, looked up and saw that, you know, I was solo first and then I was going to move back to tie for first. So, you know, anytime you're given a second opportunity, you really have to take advantage of it, and did well to do that today.
All right, James Hahn comes out on top, Alex. Roberto Castro seeking his first win, lost in the playoff. Justin Rose seems to be rounding his game into shape. And, of course, you mentioned it, Alex, that 18th hole, that certainly put away Phil Mickelson. He ended up tied for fourth but made a quadruple eight, as you said, on Saturday. Here's what Mickelson had to say.
It was a fun day for me. I played well today, and I'm happy to come back after yesterday's eight on the last to play shoot a good round. I feel like I've been hitting the ball well this week and playing some good golf. And unfortunately, one hole is probably going to prevent me from having the success here I'd like. But I played really well today, and it feels good. I'll take a little momentum heading into next week.
All right, Phil Mickelson looking to build up ahead of steam before we get to Oakmont as he chases the final leg of that Grand Slam, finishing second six times in the U.S. Open. Somebody else that got a little rust off his game, Mr. Maselli, Rory McIlroy. And here's what he had to say.
It's been a good week in terms of I know what I need to work on, and I know the things that I am working on seem to be clicking nicely, but I'm pretty confident going into the next couple of weeks. I feel like after a round like this, I can go into Sawgrass and pretty confident with where my game's at.
You know, Alex, I look at that putting switch that he made down at Doral when we were there, left hand low. He doesn't seem to be making the putts that I'm accustomed to him making. I think that's what's holding him back. Your thoughts?
Well, it's been a year now, Bob. I mean, the last win he's had on the PGA Tour was exactly at Quail Hollow last year. You can't explain that, and you have to really wonder how Rory McIlroy has been basically in the doldrums in regards to winning tournaments on the PGA Tour. A year is a very long time. I can understand Phil Mickelson making mistakes. It's a little disappointing. Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler were a bit surprising, especially both of them having opportunities or chances to win the golf tournament, actually, at some point during the week, and just not getting it done. And, you know, Rory McIlroy can talk about how the fact he feels good about things, and, you know, he's learned some things, and he's looking forward to the next week. Well, I can tell you that if you look at a lot of his post-round press conferences after the final rounds of events this year, you're going to hear the same things. He's just not learning enough to get himself over the hump and get himself in the winner's circle.
I couldn't agree more. Seems to be in the doldrums. Somebody that was in the doldrums but came flying out as we talk about the PGA Tour champions. And ironically enough, I'm going to take a little credit here, even though it's very minor, but, you know, it's big to me. It certainly wasn't big, I'm sure, to Jesper Paunovic. But last Wednesday was out at Asperity at the Woodlands Golf Club in Houston, Texas, walked down the range. There he is, Mr. Paunovic, practicing hard. Stopped, had a nice conversation with him. He looked like he was hitting the ball really well. I said to him, as I turned to walk away, about time you win out here, Jesper. And he said, that's a good idea. And he certainly went on to victory. And he's one happy guy. Give a listen.
Feels fantastic, actually. I'm still in this shock because when it's been this long, you know, you don't even remember how it is. And my family, I think that's what they are the most happy about. It's actually the Hawaii trip. They don't care if I win or lose or whatever. They don't even watch me play anymore. But going to Hawaii is huge for them. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And to win this event, I have to say, Insperity, they do such a great job with all the legends here doing what they're doing. And then you have, you know, the normal tournament and all that. So I think most guys would agree it's probably one of the favorite weeks of the year.
All right, Jesper Paunovic. He joins Todd Hamilton, Alex. When I think of two unusual winners of the Honda Classic, I lump the names Jesper Paunovic and Todd Hamilton together. Todd Hamilton, by the way, who was playing out there, had an opportunity to spend some time with him. It was a great deal of fun on Saturday to be in the company of Lee Trevino, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus as they came into the press room. The highlight, I think you might get a kick out of this, Alex. All of a sudden, somebody's phone goes off, and the ringtone was the Augusta National theme music, and Jack Nicklaus says, "Wow, what a great song." Lee Trevino says, "I think they're trying to run me out of the room." So Jack views the Masters in one light. Lee Trevino uses another set of lenses to view his thoughts of the Masters. By the way, the Grill Room is proud.
The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. These amazing clubs are scientifically proven to help kids progress from beginners to winners. Easy to swing, easy to hit, and easy to get the ball in the air. Golfin clubs are a must for all young golfers. Visit golfin.com, that's golfin.com, to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by golfweek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere. By the way, we'd like everyone to know that the official hotel partner of the Grill Room this week is the Courtyard Mayo Clinic Jacksonville Beach's location. And believe me, they have it all. Convenient to the golf courses in the area, including TPC Sawgrass. Very close to the Mayo Clinic, as well as to a wide variety of local attractions, local businesses, and of course the beaches. Their staff, they go out of their way to make your stay at the Courtyard Mayo Clinic Jacksonville Beach's location feel like your home away from home. Call 904-223-1700 or simply go online to make your reservation today.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Alex Maselli with Bob Bubka. Just got done talking about Quail Hollow, but now let's preview the Players, TPC Sawgrass. And that's brought to you by, in part, the Golf Course Superintendents Association. If you like golf like we do, thank a golf course superintendent. In fact, you can thank your golf course superintendent simply by going to gcsaa.org/thankasuper, and you can enter the sweepstakes to win a trip to Lake Tahoe to the 2016 American Century Celebrity Golf Championship. That's July 21st to the 24th. That's gcsaa.org/thankasuper. Do it today.
And Alex, you've been to Lake Tahoe. So have I. That trip worth entering the contest for, and at the same time you're thanking a superintendent. All right, Alex, you mentioned that we have to talk about the Players. Well, who do you think's going to win?
Oh, I think that's a very unfair question, Bob.
I love unfair questions.
I know. There are so many good players in the field. You would want to think it's going to be someone that's been playing well, but let's be honest. Since the Masters, I think everything's been a bit topsy-turvy in the top end of the golf spectrum. It'd be a Jason Day or Rory McIlroy or now finally returning after a meltdown on the back nine at Augusta National, Jordan Spieth. I have to be honest with you. I actually do like Jordan Spieth coming into Players for many different reasons. The first one is because of the meltdown at Augusta. I think he's very, very focused on doing something different this time around at the Players' Championship. Two, and I keep calling it the Players' Championship, understanding that it's the Players. I don't want the PGA Tour Tim Fincham mad at me. I think, two, the fact that this is a very, very good golf course, I believe, for someone like Jordan Spieth. I think it's a struggle for a Rory McIlroy or a Jason Day because they like to go ahead and hit driver all the time, and I think that can get them in trouble here. So I think Jordan Spieth would be a very, very good choice, along with actually a Zach Johnson, who we talked about earlier briefly. But, you know, Jim Furyk is returning, and this has also been a very, very good golf course for him, I believe. So those three right there are three pretty good players, I think, that have a chance this week.
Well, certainly a wealth of talent competing, 438 victories between them, 22 major champions are in the field. They won 42 majors. And here's the interesting thing, 25 first-timers in the field. I'm going to go out on a limb. Alex took the chalk and Jordan Spieth. I'm going to say that one of the first-timers in the field is going to come out on top. And once the player...
Bobby, you know why that's wrong? Because this is not a golf course that you can just show up at and play well. It is not that kind of place. And I think that's why it's very hard for a first-timer to go ahead and be successful.
Well, I don't like making easy picks like you do. I like the hard picks. So I'll stick with my statement. Once the Players, though, is in the books, all 18 greens are going to be replanted with Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. You know, that's the same surface that on Austin Country Club, Harbortown, Copperhead, at Innisbrook and Bay Hill. That seems to be the grass of choice, and these greens certainly will be better than they have been in the past. Also, other changes in the tournament golf course, that 12th hole is going to become a drivable par 4 in 2017. That should add some excitement. Ricky Fowler, our defending champion, but here's an interesting stat. No one, and I said no one, has ever successfully defended at the Players. Taking a look, Alex, a lot of great groupings. Phil Mickelson, Henrik Stenson, Martin Kaymer. That's a talented threesome.
Well, I mean, Bob, when you have the feel that you have, it's not too hard to put together good groupings. It shouldn't be, at least, unless you've lost the plot, as they would say back over in the UK. You know, obviously Mickelson, Stenson, Kaymer is good, just like Spieth, Day, and Brandon Grace is good. I think I saw Jim McCabe, my colleague from Golf Week, right? That's the usual pairing you'd see, 1, 2, and 11 in the world. I mean, there's just so many good players, it's not hard to put them together.
And a lot of people are going to be following Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson. That is going to be certainly interesting. And it's going to be, you mentioned Jordan Spieth. Hasn't played golf since his meltdown on that 12th hole on Sunday. Somebody else that hasn't played golf or played in a tournament, I should say, since the Masters, Danny Willett. And he's going to be paired with Justin Rose, Brant Snedeker. A lot of people are going to have some eyeballs on Danny Willett to see what level of golf he'll bring to the Players.
You know, I think the other interesting part about this, Bob, is when we get these fields together now at this time of year, it obviously getting in the top 50 has been important in the past because it gets you into majors without having to qualify, meaning you don't have to go to, you know, that 36 holes of the U.S. Open qualifier or something like that. But the other part of this equation now is that moving up or down inside the world rankings is important because it may get you into the Olympics. And there are some players, obviously some that are not very keen on going to Rio, but there are some players that are keen. And believe it or not, a Phil Mickelson, if he got a win, a big win like this week at the Players' Championship, could jump up and get himself in a pretty good cozy position to get himself into the Olympics, which is something that you wouldn't have thought of at the beginning of the year. Wouldn't have thought of been him being the player. But, you know, a couple of wins by one of these guys that isn't currently in the Olympics could make the difference. And I think that's something that we have to focus on a little, because, you know, it can happen, and it can happen very easily, and it can happen very quickly, as you know how quickly the world ranking changes happen.
Well, Alex, you mentioned the Olympics in your discussion. We're getting closer and closer. Are you surprised at all the amount of high-level defections we're having from participating in the Olympics?
Am I surprised? I guess I'd have to say yes and no, which isn't really a great answer. Yes, because, you know, when I was a kid, I always thought the Olympics to be a big deal. And I would think that people would want to play in it. And this has been going on now for a while. And I would have thought that the major tours, meaning the European Tour, the PGA Tour, the major organizations in golf, the USGA, the RNA, would have had a lot of discussions with their players before they decided to jump into this boat. Clearly, some of the players didn't really see eye to eye on what these tours and these organizations thought. But the other part of the equation is you know, I blame, to a large extent, I blame the PGA Tour on this. They had a responsibility to be as supportive as they could be in regards to the Olympics. And it turns out, if you talk to these players that aren't going, and they all have legitimate reasons. But I think the most telling one might be Adam Scott, who is citing scheduling as a problem. And think about it. I mean, after the Olympics, you have four FedEx Cup events. And if you're a European Tour card holder, you also have three more events in the Race to Dubai. That's seven events that you have to absolutely play in. Now, that's before you've played in, you know, four majors, couple WGC. You know, if you're an RBC person or a Wyndham person, you basically don't have any time off from the PGA Championship to, if you go all the way to the end of the FedEx Cup, that's like 8 or 9 weeks in a row. Did it really need to be that way? Did not the tour have the ability to make some adjustments or some changes? And then the second part of that equation is they're the ones that said they weren't going to have an event opposite the Olympics, but yet they put John Deere opposite the Olympics. That means that Jordan Spieth, the number two player in the world, now can't defend his own win at John Deere last year because of the Olympics. Does that seem fair to him? Does that seem fair to John Deere?
No, I agree. It certainly doesn't seem fair to John Deere. And the other nagging thought that exists within me concerning the Olympics, you know, they talk about playing for your country and you know, but in reality, it's a 72-hole stroke play event with somebody winning a gold medal. I mean, you know, and then they're going to say, oh, well, if it's a player from South Africa, that's great for South Africa. I mean, it's not a team thing that a country is sending a delegation to play in. It's individuals playing for an individual title. And I don't know quite why, I really don't understand, is what I'm trying to say, the patriotism aspect of competing in the Olympics when you're playing for yourself.
Well, I mean, people play or compete for themselves all the time, but that's because they can't create a scenario where they could compete on a team. You know, this is just like gymnastics. We could have had a team format as well as part of that individual. You have that in the World Cup. You have a team format, and you also have an individual winner as well. They could have done that. Instead, they choose, and I don't know who they are anymore. I'm going to say the IGF, the International Golf Federation. They chose to go this route. Is this the right route? Clearly, no one, and I mean no one, outside of the group that put it together, thinks that it is the right route.
So certainly at this juncture, Alex, a lot working against the Olympics, the scheduling, that's certainly a major factor. There's some worries about the mosquitoes down there. The water is not great. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's been a long, long time since the Olympics have been, since golf has been in the Olympics. I think the last time being back in 1904, that is a long time. I'm not so sure you didn't cover that, but it wouldn't surprise me had you been there in that 1904 Olympics.
Well, Bobby, if I'd been in the 1904 Olympics, at least I'd remember it. On the other hand, you can't remember what happened last week. So there you go on that. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and obviously to Golfin, Innovative Clubs for Kids, and TheGolfWeek.com. So for Jan itself, Alex Vaselli, and myself, Bob Bubka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.